What's up, Hoodat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast.
All right, what is up, Hoodat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk to go rating is a zero, but I am drinking my typical traditional vodka and juice. It's a cran mango.
Of course it is.
5 calories. Damon, you've got that picture up. That's not Damon, if you're watching on the live stream. As much as we wish it was, it's not him. All right, so Taysom Hill fans have been bouncing off the walls since Sunday, while the Hoodat Nation finally breathes a sigh of relief. Even though it's preseason, it is still the first time that we have won since the NFC Championship game, and it really does help to finally cross that threshold within the Chargers.
No, it doesn't.
In the Chargers, there were some things that make you feel confident, while other things might have made you cringe. And while it's certainly something we'll discuss, all the highs and the lows this week. So first, Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I don't know. This win was so big. I don't know if I can properly gather my thoughts over how big of a win this was.
It's a win, man. It's a win. It matters.
It matters absolutely not whatsoever.
All right. It just doesn't feel good to win. Even the players say that. It's good for morale.
Okay, fine. A win's nice, but come on.
All right.
I will go with a 2. I took it old school earlier and found a can of Surge. You know, taking it back to 97, 98, mixed it with some vodka, had that, and now I am drinking some Irish whiskey that my new neighbor gifted us when we were working on the house a couple weekends ago. So I'm feeling all right. I mean,
whiskey and Surge. All right.
I mean, it's plus I got some new theming in the background. So,
that's,
you know,
I like the set design.
I am incredibly professional.
All right. Damon, speaking of professional, looks like he's got a
looks like he hired a professional. Huh?
How you feeling?
Oh, Jesus. After this game, Drew's replacement is not in the building.
Interesting that you feel that way, but we'll see. In the game recap, I'm gonna say real quickly, though, do you believe it or not that Sean Payton said that the reason for Teddy Bridgewater's poor performance was actually he was sick? That's also what they pulled him
There's always some excuse.
Well, hold on. I mean, he did have a good game last week.
He did, and he played. It was a completely different guy. I mean, it would explain the poor performance. And hey,
I mean,
come to the show.
I don't know. You think in 13 years Drew Brees never played sick?
Not probably.
All right, this is
a few times.
You're making the mistake that we cautioned everybody making. Don't compare Teddy to Drew Brees.
Well, no doubt. You know, but still. Yeah, I don't care if he was sick. Both yet.
And Scott says that's fake news. It's the wrong segment. It should be.
I mean, it is fake news.
It is fake news.
It's everything's flipped. I mean, last week Bridgewater had a great game and Taysom sucked. And this week it was completely reversed. So I mean, it didn't look great. I mean, especially he had a wide open guy on one of those plays. He had a wide open guy over the middle that could have been a touchdown and just completely overshot him. It was almost like he panicked. Like
all of Teddy's throws were overshot. I mean,
yeah,
he was off. Something was not right with him.
Yeah, Jeff, you just said it. He was sick.
That's what I'm saying. I believe it. I believe he was sick. And they even had a shot of him on the sideline. He was like sweating bullets. And he didn't play him enough to be sweating. He was probably throwing up in the locker room. He was nervous because he had Taysom Hill breathing down his neck. So, all right, so then what do you think of Taysom Hill's performance then? I mean, is it really he's starting to feel better, more confident, and he's kind of showing you the Steve Young that he is, apparently? Because that's another thing Sean Payton said, right?
That's the narrative. That's what they want to put. But, again, I mean, he also played against backup, so – you know, look, I'm not discounting what he did. I mean, he brought him back to win the game.
They played with backups, too.
You know, I mean, he made some throws. He made some running plays. You know, I mean, can he be a full-time QB? The jury's still out. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of practice time there, but, you know, he can – he's going to excite you. I mean, he can do things that other guys can't, but, you know, can he make all the throws? You know, it's just too early to tell at this point.
Well, he can also be the leading rusher again.
He can.
So I think the whole Steve Young comment that Sean – and if you listen to what Sean Payton said in the interview yesterday, what he was saying was he's not saying that Taysom Hill is the Steve Young at the highlight of his career. He's
– No, because Taysom's right-handed.
Where he is, a young player and where he is and where Steve Young was when he was young. He's always been young, but he's that –
They both went to Brigham Young?
There's similarities in where they were at this point in each of their careers. That's what Sean Payton says he meant. And he also said that sometimes you got to say things to motivate your player. You know, you got to inspire him and give him someone to aspire to be like. And I think he probably said that as much for, you know, you put it in his head. Like, well, you should strive to be more like Steve Young. Okay, I'll do that, coach. And then look what he comes out and does in the second half.
Well, let's put it this way. I'll focus more of my attention on what the hell our QB is going to be when Breeze is retired. At the moment, I know Breeze is the guy, and I'm not worried at all. When Breeze isn't here...
Breeze is the guy.
I mean, then I'll know, you know, like once we get to that point, then I'll start to really worry and think about the quarterback.
Are the Twitter folks getting to you? You getting nervous? Because I saw a few people tweeting like, people need to calm down about the backup. We ain't even lost Drew Brees yet.
Well, I mean, it's just – I mean, because we need something to talk about. I mean, Brees isn't playing. We need something to talk about. And, of course, when he mentioned Steve Young, that's going to – you know, people are going to mention it. It's going to drive clicks because that's what people do. So, you know, look, I think both guys are very capable. But we know what Hill's role is going to be this season. It's going to be a – do everything but quarterback, pretty much. So that's going to work. So I'm good with that. I don't want to devote so much focus on it. You know, you're going to see they're going to do things, not do other things. But until Breeze isn't here,
they're going to do some things and not do other things.
That's right. That's right. Come on.
I'm not very. Come on. That's right. They're going to do things, and then there's something they're not going to do.
Sometimes not play well.
So Scott says that Taysom Hill is a Popeye's sandwich and Terry Bridgewater is a Chick-fil-A.
Hey, the Chick-fil-A sandwich is very solid. It can win you games.
Yeah, but it doesn't play on Sundays.
Ooh.
And hello to John Tyson. Thanks for watching. Oh, wow. Got any Popeye's sandwiches?
Man. Dude, how are y'all doing in the crazy chicken sandwich wars of 2019? Like, this is insane, right?
I mean, do you want to interrupt for that, or do you want to save that for later in the show? Because I did have that on the agenda to bring up.
Bring it up later.
Okay.
Love that chicken for Popeyes.
All right, so let's move on. All right, next player I want to talk about is Emmanuel Butler. This was his big chance to show. Yeah. What do you think of that?
What do you think of that, ass fuck?
I mean, he had one go right off his hands or his helmet.
He's supposed to be the greatest. He's Marcus Colston.
He's Marcus Colston.
He's the second coming of Marcus Colston. What, at the end of his career?
Yeah. Well, you know, we always have those camp bodies. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
There's a camp beast.
Damon's back.
Yes, indeed.
For those of you who do not tune into the live show and are listening to this on your podcast, Damon's backdrop is now a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
There was just so much. There's always a camp beast. Yeah, hype. That's it. Thank you. You know, and I think Screech put an article out there how we were lucky to draft this kid. Da, 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 da. And last week he couldn't get on the field because of injury, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was hurt.
And this week, you know, he didn't, you know, really impress.
No, he dropped one like right out of his hands.
Right. Maybe he's great practice player. Could be nerves. I mean,
could be.
Obviously, look. I mean, I hope he turns out to prove us all wrong and laughs.
Yeah. All right. Nothing else to say about him then? Is you going to give him another?
Not really.
Let's give him another.
He didn't do much. Right. I mean, he dropped the pass.
All right. Talk about this Dwayne Washington versus Divine Devin Ozigbo. What do you call him? Divine? His first name is Divine. Anyway.
Oh, hold on, Jeff. I just slipped on the field again.
Oh. Zigbo.
I mean, like, he did slip and got popped and a turnover, but the field was shit.
Yeah. You
know, not that I'm excusing it. Maybe they weren't wearing the right fucking cleats.
That's not the play he fumbled, was it?
Yes. Yeah, he slipped and got popped and fumbled. That was one thing about the game, when we fumbled twice inside the 10.
I didn't see the slip. Okay.
You know? But, I mean, it
but
seems
he did.
Like,
he did.
Okay, he didn't catch a touchdown later in the game, but it seems like Washington's got the – he's
inside track.
He's
I kind of agree.
So far. He's done better.
And Washington played last year a little bit. He was on the practice squad. He got elevated. I mean, he didn't do anything of significance last year, but he at least has a year in the system, where Ozigbo, this is his first year, right? And they both ran for 30 yards. Ozigbo, it took him 8 tries to do it. Washington, 5.
Yeah.
So
I like when Jeff goes through stats. Work. I love it.
Yeah, I know.
It's great.
I'm just looking at the stats. I'm just
trying. Yeah, I know. I know. So you just look at the numbers and rattle off, and they right. 30 yards. 30 yards. Well,
oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't commit Devon rushing yards to commit to memory, and I'm going to read it. You think anybody else commits that to memory? What's okay? Oh, you tell me. How many yards did
his mama?
I don't know, Jeff. It's the preseason. I don't care.
Okay, you don't even know it in the regular season. Don't even act like you do.
Well, yeah, because I'm at the games. It's hard to remember that shit.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. So shut the fuck up.
Hey.
So you like Washington over Ozigbo?
Yeah. I mean, he's the favorite to be the number three guy, which is fine. I mean, he's ran well enough. Nothing.
And he'll says look. Otherwise. He'll see the field. You know, your number three running back will see the field.
Mm-hmm.
During the season.
Yep.
And Washington's good. All right, DB coverage. What do you think of your boy Chris Banjo?
I don't know. Why did you bring it? I was going to go Von Bell. Why are you bringing up Chris Banjo?
Yeah, I was going to go Bell. I don't know what the Banjo did.
I was going with the negative first, the bad news.
Well, I mean, he's a special teams guy. He doesn't know what he's
doing. Yeah, I mean, if he's playing quarterback.
He was doing punt coverage on that pass, that touchdown pass to Patton.
Whew. Yeah, Banjo's not a starter. I mean, if he's starting in your backfield, you're in trouble.
How about that special teamer though?
Oh, you want to go to him? You want to skip Von Bell for right now? You want to talk about?
That's not even what it, guys. I'm sorry. I guess you can't get the sarcasm here. But no, yeah, I mean, right. Banjo's a special team guy. That's it. He sucks on.
Oh, I thought you wanted to talk about Deontay Harris. I was going with
that. That's not where I was going, Jeff. I was making fun of you for bringing up a special teamer.
I want to talk about
DB play. I want to talk about Von Bell. Von Bell,
right. He played like that.
That one play where he came over and knocked it. You know, he came all the way across and knocked it over. I mean, he's, you know, it's crazy. We've invested in the safety spot, 2 second-round picks. You know, with Bell and with Williams, and Bell struggled his second year. While Williams' rookie year, he played really well. But since then, it's been flipped. I mean, Bell played better last year, and so far, it looks like Bell is better than Williams at this point.
Absolutely.
And you know, Bell's going to be a free agent after the year, so that's going to be another decision they have to make.
He's in a contract year,
right? Do they keep him around, or do they say, "Look, we got Williams for another year at a cheap rookie deal. Do we stick it out?" But I mean. No, for this year, won't matter. I mean, for this year, we're going to have them both, which is good. But I love, like, Von Bell has really stepped up his game the last. So he's balling out, man. I mean, you like to see it.
Quarterback of the defense now, right?
He's balling out.
He's in charge. Yeah. All right. Now let's talk about your special teams. Your punt returner, Deontay Harris.
Yeah, we might have a punt returner. Holy shit.
Let me tell you what I read about him. So he played at Assumption
Stats.
College. Yeah, I'm going to read this. He played at Assumption College. If you're Pierre Thomas kind of
Didn't Cole Tracy kick there before going to LSU?
Did he? I don't know.
He played at one of those. It sounded like he probably
Assumption
played
High School. all right, and he was apparently one of the most prolific returners in NCAA history. He owns the NCAA Division II record for career combined return touchdowns, as well as a single season record of 8 return touchdowns in one season, which he did in 2017. I don't know what he did in 2018. Not much, but.
Yeah, he probably only had like 4.
I mean. Right. So maybe he is the real deal.
I mean, at least in terms of punts, it kind of looks that way. I mean, when's the last time we had a punt returner? I mean, Reggie Bush? That's probably it, right? Like a legit punt returner where when we set the guy back there, you're like, there's a chance he could take it to the house. Or even just get more than 4 yards, you know? I mean, we have had a lot of shitty punt returner. We have had arguably the worst punt return units over the last 4 or 5 years. We're definitely in the bottom 5.
Yeah.
So to have a guy like this who can even, you know, just – like I think he averaged like 20 something or 30 yards a punt return. I mean, that is massive in terms of field position.
Cool. All right. So Scott Greenbaum did want to talk about Banjo. He said Banjo sure has a pretty mouth. That's his bad joke on Scott's part. All right. Glenn Fitz popped in to say, I know it's game recap, but did y'all see Jairus Byrd made the top 100 PFF team? Makes me sick. We paid him all that money and we got shit.
Anyway, wait, what was the top 100 PFF team of what, all time? Or the last decade?
I don't know. He didn't clarify that. I didn't see it.
He's not still playing, is he?
No, I don't think so.
Maybe it top 100 busts. Anyway, he said Popeye's chicken is definitely the king of sandwiches.
Love that chicken from Popeye's.
Got to find the old Dr. John one.
Love that chicken from Popeye's.
Rest in peace.
Poor little out.
Rest in 10 piece. gotcha.
That's awesome.
That was clever.
Hey, I made a funny joke. Look at that.
Yeah, all right. Better than Scott's joke.
Right. Everything is better than Scott's jokes.
So then, Jason, you tweeted about who's Colton Jumper?
Fuck if I know, but he got an interception.
What? Put the game away, huh?
Seriously, they said Colton Jumper with an interception. I had no effing clue.
Who?
Exactly.
Who?
Just a guy. Right place, right time, or...
I feel like Jerry Jones. Colton who?
The making. Oh, yeah.
Jumper who?
Speaking of that, he pissed off Zeke. Zeke was disrespected, man.
Oh, good. Fuck the Cowboys. It's perfect.
I love it.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Blueberry. All right. And speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, which is not part of our game recap, I'm going to take – do y'all have anything left on the game before
– Well, we had a few injuries in the game.
Okay. You want to do that here? You want to You want to do that now?
Yeah.
I'll do that while I go refill my drink.
Yeah.
So we had Michael Ola got hurt. Craig Robertson, and they brought in – I saw they were bringing in a linebacker who played with the Redskins recently. They brought him in for a visit maybe today or yesterday. So that's not good news for Robertson.
Mm-mm.
I didn't see –
I mean, he's one of my favorite players. You know, I mean – I know he wasn't a starter, but I felt like he was in there a lot.
There were a lot of times, like he started when he had to, you know,
Exactly. That's my point. He
didn't suck.
No, he didn't suck. I like Craig Robinson. Now, what I read from Deuce McAllister, Deuce McAllister was saying something that he heard Robertson say to the coaching staff that he felt.
Something pop.
He heard something pop, right?
Yeah.
And of course, obviously, I mean, they don't have to give any injury reports, and you know, we won't get. All we know is fucking, you know, everything in his knee popped up. Sean Payton wouldn't tell you.
No.
But that's he was a solid backup. Like you said, when he went in, you didn't lose much. I feel.
No, and he was a great special teams player too.
Right.
He was an important player on this team.
Yes, he is. We don't know what it is. We don't know.
Right. I mean, maybe he misheard the pop, but yeah, that doesn't sound good.
It looks like we're sponsored by Popeyes.
Should be. I mean,
I wish. And they can pay us in chicken sandwiches.
Of course. Yeah. I don't need money.
Yes, they can.
Yeah. Popeye, give me some sandwiches and some Black and Ranch, and I'm good.
And some red beans. And onion rings.
Dip the sandwich in the red beans.
Mm.
You say that.
Mm. I mean, I'm going to try it.
Well, the problem is, like, I've never gotten a combo. I've just gotten the sandwich by itself because I'm like, I don't go to Popeyes a ton. I don't want to go nuts. Just let me get the sandwich by itself, and that's what I came for. I don't have time for sides. Although now that I've experienced each one, maybe I have time for sides.
They're red beans. You have to have them.
We gotta save it. We gotta.
Okay. Sorry, that's how crazy it is. We're so drawn to talk about Popeyes right now.
It's little slow leaks though. It's kind of like we're throwing little commercial teasers in for the end of the show.
Popeyes chicken is fucking awesome.
You get a whiff. Oh shit! Yeah. Is that Popeyes sandwich right here?
You know who doesn't do that? Anyone about Wendy's or Chick-fil-A
or fucking Bojangles.
But they do have good blueberry biscuits. All right, stop. We're doing it again.
Right?
All right. Superdome renovations. Improvements. The budget was approved by the state. And as far as that, correct me if I'm wrong, but the state is only going to really chip in $90
million. Where... 92 million, right. The state's chipping in $92 million. The Louisiana Expo is chipping in $207 million. And the Saints are chipping in 150.
It's like 330. It was 300 million, right?
450 million altogether.
Or that.
The Saints.
Off by
the Saints are chipping.
Ballpark.
The Saints, 100 million. Right. The Saints are putting in $150 million.
That's a lot.
That is a huge amount.
It goes to show you how much money the organization has. You know, the organization's got to
shit. They're not writing a $150 million check today.
Well, I know it's over the course of years, but like all the renovations they're doing on the Pell side, you know, they spent some of the renovations on the arena. They're spending for some on the stadium. I mean, which is good. I know the state is gonna pay some of that, but I feel like the idea of states and cities funding these crazy stadiums is at some point that's got to end. But look, we're ending up ahead though. Like it's not like. You know, all these new stadiums, these $1.5 billion, you know, $1.5 billion stadiums, like we're getting by on a lot less money than that.
Well, I don't, but look, I mean, I kind of like the subject. If you go back over the last, 14 years now, you know, Katrina. What are you laughing at?
Your Popeye sandwich is like jumping in and out. It's like it's trying to get my attention. We were just talking about that. Even the picture is jumping in and out, trying to get my attention.
But I mean, this is we put 450 in over the next 4 years. I remember they've done a couple of $300 million
right
upgrades.
The one after Katrina, you know, was like 280, I think, and then we had the one with the video boards, which wasn't a
right. No, but I mean, after this, they would have put about $1 billion in 20 years, you know. But my point being is, look, the Superdome is a state asset and definitely an asset to the city. And they need it. It's just like a house. It's just like a house. When you buy your house and you live in it for 30 years and you go to sell it, if you haven't redone your kitchen and your bathroom, you're not going to get, you know, maximum value.
Yeah, or a shopping mall, or a strip mall.
Right, whatever. And the thing is, look, how much have we missed out on the last 3 or 4 years?
How many Super Bowls?
You know, well, there were 2 Super Bowls, right? We didn't get, but another reason. We do have one coming up in 2024. Right.
Well, 2.
You know.
And the 2024 might have been contingent on this shit getting passed.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, I think 100%.
Yeah, 100%
it is. Right. Yeah. 100%, and even in one of the articles I read, when the NFL turned in, you know, the owners voted for this, you know, the Superdome, they said, yeah, but tell them they have to redo the opponent's locker room.
Oh, you know,
I bet because that's the thing now. It's part of it, you know. Yeah. So, the Saints get all the money. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in that Superdome. So much that doesn't involve the Saints.
That is the one difference between the Dome and a lot of these other football stadiums, because the Dome is a you know, covered building. There's a lot of other shit that they can and do host, you know, in the Dome. All the boat shows, the home shows.
Don't forget the Sugar Bowl every year. The NCAA, the College Football Championship, is there.
BYU,
this year.
No, it's not there every year, but at least you get the Sugar Bowl every year. You get the Bayou Classic is there every year.
But the championship game is there every 4 years.
Yeah.
You got Mardi Gras parades use it. It's a museum itself. Well,
it is definitely a multi-purpose facility, unlike some of these other stadiums that aren't.
And you don't get, obviously what we're doing is listing out all the answers to the morons who are like, why is the state paying for the Saints to have a place to play when we could be fixing roads and education? First of all, completely different budgets, and it is possible for a state budget to pay for more than one thing at a time. Okay,
we give a bunch of money to the city of New Orleans. The dome gets fixed right. The streets and everything and the drainage, they don't know what the fuck. They don't know how to spend the money anyway, so why even give them the money? You can't trust them to do anything. Right.
So, but then, not only that, but there's I lost it. It was another point. Oh, the tax revenue that you get from all the players as they play, not to mention all this tax revenue that you get from the concessions that are sold during every game. So, and the parking.
And people coming in for hotels, spending a weekend. And just having the lure of having
economic impact.
And that goes hand in hand with them and the Pels. Having professional franchises in where if somebody comes in, you know, for a weekend or a few days, oh, there's a Pelicans game at the arena. Saints game tickets will be harder to come by. But for all those Pelicans games, you know, people come in, oh, there's a Pelicans game tonight? Hell yeah. I mean, it is a major entertainment product, and it is a good thing to have that here, considering how small New Orleans is compared to other areas. The fact that we have two teams is pretty stunning.
So for the state to invest $90 million, they're going to get back so much more in revenue from the direct and indirect impact. It's one of the smartest investments you can make.
You would say they're going to have a deep impact?
I do. Gerald Boutte says, I think I just figured it out with a thumbs up. I don't know what he figured out. Maybe you want to tell us because I didn't.
Popeyes?
But you also, you know, with the Louisiana Expo putting in the money, you know, putting the majority of the money up, the $207 million, I think it is, or $203. I think, you know, there's a hotel motel tax. And I'm not sure exactly who gets that money. I do not think it goes straight to the – it doesn't go to the city council budget. It doesn't go to –
I think the convention center gets some of that.
Right.
Because I know there's a big issue with the convention center keeping a lot of money and accumulating this big reserve they have. And I want to say they've upped – and I know they probably passed some to also pay for some infrastructure, which the city – I mean, it definitely needs, but again, can you trust the people making the decisions to spend it right? That's part of the problem.
Right. You cannot.
Well, anyway, okay. Well, let's talk about what they're going to do, what improvements they're going to make to the dome.
All right. You know stuff? Because I didn't know they had anything in mind.
Well, they're getting rid of the ramps. I'm disappointed. The big ramps inside, the indoor ramps, they're getting rid of those. I'm going to miss those.
Well, get with the fucking times, Jason.
I'm sorry, that brings up memories of my childhood running up and down.
Too bad. This is true. They're going to replace them with additional elevators.
And escalators.
Actually, that sounds less.
And escalators, right. At an estimated cost of $100 million.
I don't know. I like those ramps. I do like those ramps.
I think
they say the escalators are going to make it easier for people to get up and down.
I have never seen an escalator.
I don't see how.
Perform better than a ramp because the escalator is a funnel.
Right. Correct. Right. I agree with you. I don't see how it's going
to
be.
Escalator are going to cause people to get hurt because they're not going to get and walk. It's like a ski lift, you know, a chair lift that is when you go skiing or something. Get out of the way because everybody's coming down behind you.
Well, and that's the thing. Like when we go to games, when we get in, we take the escalators up, and it's not too bad. But when we leave, the escalators are a shit show, so we just take the ramps because it's just, you know, you can filter. I mean, there is a bottleneck on the concourse, but once you hit the ramps, it just opens up. Now, you know, it does take a while to walk all the way the fuck around, but at least it's an open, steady walk, and it's really not that bad. I guess they must be planning to put a shit ton of escalators in because that is a lot of space.
You know, the escalators are going to be wide. Look how wide they are.
Double wide?
Escalator. I guess. Well, another improvement. It will be in the food service for the Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
Mm-hmm.
A new commissary, which will be relocated to the parking lot of Garage 6 in the northwest corner of the stadium will be built.
Is that the thing that they're going to actually cut away from parking, like going to take from parking and add?
Well, I think there's a commissary somewhere in like a different part of the parking garage, but people complain that it's not easy, I guess, to get food from there to the serving areas. Okay. So I think this is supposed to be an easier way to get better food delivered more quickly. I mean, I tend not to eat in the dome, so.
The new commissary and freight elevators will allow vendors to transport food throughout the massive building faster and more efficiently.
Ah.
The result should be improved food quality and service in the suites and club lounges.
Only if they open a Popeyes. Are they going to open a Popeyes?
That's,
I don't know. They should.
They should. Atlanta opens a Chick-fil-A that's fucking closed on Sundays. We need to have a Popeyes.
We have to have a Popeyes in the dome.
The problem is it's going to take you an hour to get your food.
Not with the new commissary. And shut up. That's my chicken pot pies. Popeyes. That's my chicken pot pies.
You know, and then there's been talk, obviously, about bringing more natural light into the dome. And
natural light? Oh, my God. They're going worse than there.
Oh, God. Now, I know I thought I heard them say this may not happen in the first round of renovations, but maybe either right before or right after the Super Bowl of actually making, like, the main entrance. You know, because the main entrance is now, like, up on the was that the plaza level or the Loge, wherever
you go. Loge level, yeah.
But actually making, like, a better main entrance on the ground level.
Like on
getting so getting rid of the outdoor ramps on Poydras and making just a big a
right,
better
right, but that right that's something ground. That they're talking about doing, like you're saying, after
right,
20,
it would be after
24 right. after these renovations.
Right. Correct.
And yes, they will be redoing the visitors' locker room, and they're going to have it where. How do you say that? Both teams, you know how we've all watched Monday Night Football or whatever in Dallas. You know how Dallas comes on the field, not on the sides, or not, you know, on the corners, and they walk through fans? They're going to be doing that also.
What? Like how the Saints come out of this for the second half in that little corner kind of thing instead of coming out
right.
of the goalpost?
Instead of going out of the corner, they're going to come out at the 50.
Oh,
and they're going to come out through a club section type deals where, you know, they'll be fan. If you're a fan of a section, you'll be able to watch them before they actually.
Okay, kind of like how the Pelicans come out with a crowd of fans around them.
No,
longer runway.
If you've seen them play at AT&T Stadium, you know what I'm talking about.
Okay. So this
but the most right. important part of all of this,
no,
the most important part
of that improves the fan experience, from what I could tell, other than maybe what better quality food.
And they say the escalators are going to be better.
I said none of it improves the fan experience. And
yeah, I'm just saying what they're saying. But the most important part of this is that because of all of this, the Saints and the state will extend the Saints lease to 2035.
Yeah.
That's kind of big.
Yeah. So, you know, I like doing it now because the Saints lease now expires in 2025. So they won't be, oh, are they going to stay? Are they going to go? Right. Are they going to lose our team? You know. You remember that? I mean, that was, you know, we went through a lot. Now, look, it's been 20 fucking years. Jesus, how wonderful. You know, it seemed where, you know, the Saints wanted a new stadium and you know, they were going to use it as a leveraging to get a new stadium and, oh, you know, are going to stay or they're going to go. And so this will put it, but we're now, you know, another 15 years. We don't have to worry and talk about it. So that is, to me,
it just, right. it
one
feels
of the huge
not have that stress looming over you.
Right. And
just good. You know, it keeps pointing back to just good, competent people running the organization.
100%. Look, after Katrina, and I, you know, this is Jim Henderson said this, you know, I guess, and it wasn't even 2009. I think it was 2006. you know, Katrina really re-sparked the love affair between the city and the team.
Winning. You sure it's Katrina? Or you think it was winning?
Well, it was a combination of things. It was a desire.
Reggie Bush, Drew
Brees. One at a time.
It was, you know, the desire of, oh shit, New Orleans is down. Let's group together as New Orleanians. But then it was also, holy shit, we got Reggie Bush. That's what it was. You know, yeah, Peyton, we didn't know who Peyton was. Brees, yeah, he's.
Hopefully. But he wasn't Drew Brees.
Right. It was coming back.
That 06 season. But it was
Reggie Bush. It really was Reggie Bush.
And it was so really exciting because it was, you know, back to normalcy to an extent, you know. I think it was over a year since they had played in
that's the thing, right? Having a whole year in Baton Rouge really.
Half a year
in Baton Rouge.
Well, and I'll add to it that it's all these other cities getting new stadiums. And yes, the NFL, the evil tyrant dictator NFL saying, if you're not up to par with what stadium expectations are, then we might move you out. You know, and
Benson wanted to go to San Antonio.
Well, but and I'm not even going there. I'm saying, though.
He didn't. I don't think he did.
Think he did. Paul Tagliabue.
No.
He used it as leverage.
But it was leverage.
The point is that everybody in New Orleans involved, government, Saints, city, Superdome Associate, whatever you want to say, all realized and knew that, like, all right, we've got to invest in this building, or we've got to build a new building, but we have to commit to improving the quality of whatever it is. And they did it. And they're
100%
continuing to do it. And the Superdome, I love the story that everybody else is building a new stadium. And there's going to be a day, perhaps, where we have the oldest stadium, yet also modern version of it. You know what I mean? It's like the Roman Colosseum, as if it didn't fall apart, and they put neon lights on it.
And it's also –
Well, it'll be like Soldier Field and Lambeau also, Field, you know.
It has to be the best situated stadium out of any NFL stadium because it's right here. Downtown's right there.
Correct.
Which is why we'll continue to get Super Bowls.
100%.
Aside from our ability to throw a friggin' citywide party for a couple.
Well, 100%. And since we kind of got us to Katrina, we'll just mention that the governor of Louisiana during Katrina, Kathleen Blanco, passed away.
Oh yeah, a
couple of days ago. And I just find it funny, you know, he's passed away now. It's been, been 14 years, you know, since Katrina.
How dying makes people forget how incompetent you
correct. Were. Right. I hated her.
For I think after LSU won the 2007 championship, after they won both, you know, we went down to the quarter and just hung out. I remember her walking down the street with Les Miles holding the trophy and booing her.
In 2007, right.
Yeah, fucking right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. She has the championship trophy and booing her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. But yeah, she was
sick, and because she died, all of a sudden, she's one of the greatest.
Well, you forget the city and state, and I don't know what city and state would have been prepared to handle that catastrophe.
Okay, you know? Fair enough. But she was a bad governor besides that.
Well, who knows? I mean, I don't know anything about that.
I don't know any details, but all I can remember is just every impression I ever had of her was such an incompetent boob.
He was not ready for the job. He was not ready for the job.
So anyway, yeah, this isn't a government.
But anyway, she passed away. So that's all under the bridge. God bless her. You know, may she have a.
We're the only people who are like pissing on her grave. All right, Scott's going to bed. He's got to wake up at 3 a.m. So this is the first time Scott's hanging out. And Gerald Booty says, what he figured out was how to be notified when we go live. Apparently, you touch the screen. Then at the bottom, there's a small bell, and you touch it. And it says, get notified when Dome Patrol goes live. He's on an iPhone, and so now he will always be notified because he touched our bell. Not our Von Bell, but our notification.
Not your ball, your bell.
Not your mic bell. All right. That is going to bring us to look at them tweets. All right, first tweet, Rod Walker talked about the Mercedes-Benz Superdome renovation, which we already just discussed, so I'm not going to belabor that point. Greenbaum then says, what was it y'all were saying last week about Terry Bridgewater being the clear choice to take over for Breeze? It's Taysom time! After Breeze, of course. Do you think Breeze will play in Game 3? I'd like to see him for at least a series.
I don't need to see him. I don't.
Don't need to see him.
I do not need to see him.
Has he played any preseason games the last couple of years?
I mean, he had to play a little bit. I'm pretty sure he played a little in the third game last year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And honestly, I expected him to play. I want to say last
he
year,
I
expected him to play a series. I thought he might have played longer than a series.
And I also
get him out of here.
I also remember there was a little bit of a sluggish start, and everybody complaining that he only played a series. Now itself.
You don't need to play at all.
Well, correct. But the thing is, and I think, tell me if, you know, we all think that
he's got 1 foot in the grave.
He kind of got tired toward the end of the year.
He might have been injured.
I
think he got injured.
I could have been injured.
Not tired, hurt.
Okay, well, that would make the difference.
What no Teddy Bridgewater situation.
So there, yeah, we need to – he doesn't have to throw – he doesn't have to play in any games as far as I'm concerned. If he doesn't play a lick and shows up in game one against the Texans, I'm not worried about what he's going to do.
I will say an unpracticed – like an unpreseasoned and unseasoned Breeze is still better than 33 of the NFL's top other quarterbacks. And I said 33 on purpose.
Okay.
Better than all your starters – plus one of the backups.
Plus Taysom.
Oh! 34, counting Terry.
Yeah. Okay, there you go.
All right. Anything you want to say about let's keep going. All right. So, here's Seth Dunlap. Teddy Bridgewater, 15 for 19, 134 yards, touchdown versus Vikings, first and second team defense, Saints Twitter yawns. Taysom Hill, 11 for 15, 136, two touchdowns versus Charger against their second and third team defense. Saints Twitter, dancing in the streets like it's
because he's exciting. Because Bridgewater
he's
is not
exciting.
Taysom is exciting.
Taysom is exciting.
People like exciting.
Right.
It doesn't. It's exciting, yes, but it doesn't mean he's the next QB.
He's like the mystery of dating a 30-year-old, right, Damon?
This is true.
That mystery and excitement. You know, Damon could go for a nice, steady 40-year-old that would be very stable. But
no, I could not.
He's this 30-year-old come in and
date a 40-year-old.
She makes him go to Royal Street when he's got a podcast and he curses her out. But, you know, that's excitement.
Right.
When did I do that? Oh, yeah.
All right. Next tweet is the NOLA girl saying my quarterback versus their quarterback. And it's Drew Brees dressed up for the, I don't know, what's that event? Some kind of horse race or something? And Cam Newton dressed, I guess, as a female.
Cam Newton dressed as almost anything. You could tell me Cam Newton dressed as, and I could picture something crazy.
I'm at this point convinced that Cam Newton might be transgender.
You know what's crazy? I saw there was an article on ESPN, or no, maybe CBS.
That might come off as an insult to transgenders. You don't want us to use Cam Newton's name. But I mean, I don't know.
What article are you? I'm thinking. I wonder if you heard the same one.
Yeah, it was on Lacanfora on CBS. You know, he said like eight teams that could win it all, and he actually had the Panthers in there.
What?
And look, they have McCaffrey. Their receivers have some upside. Maybe they improved a little on defense, but Cam Newton's shoulder is still like
Cam's done.
Hurt, you know.
Cam Newton is done.
He doesn't run anymore. Part of his deal is if he can run, yes, he's dangerous. But if he's not running anymore, he can't. I have as much accuracy as he does. So
never had a lot of accuracy to begin with.
That's who Teddy Bridgewater looked like against the Chargers. He was throwing like Cam Newton. all these overthrows. Every now and then you hit one. Scrambling away. Yeah.
At least he dressed professionally. Right.
You were talking about locking four and talking about quarterbacks. It's just so, the NFL is just so funny. I was watching or listening to Coward the other day.
I like and, that. Coward.
Yeah. You know the name? Coward?
Yeah, Cowherd.
Cowherd, but I prefer Coward.
Coward.
He's a coward.
And he was talking about quarterback. Remember 3 years ago, Aaron Rodgers was the greatest quarterback in the history of the league.
Yeah.
Okay? And Cowherd was saying something about – he was comparing him to the four others, like Cam in Indianapolis.
Andrew Luck.
Luck. Baker Mayfield and, you know, and
– What?
And Rodgers. And he was saying, like, you know, maybe – huh?
It's good no, to no, no, ago.
No, this was this week.
Oh, okay.
But I'm saying a couple of years ago, remember, Aaron Rodgers was the greatest of all time.
Yeah,
a couple of years ago, he was the greatest of all time. You know, you sucked his dick. And Cowherd was saying, you know, oh, well, you know.
It reminds
basically that, you know, and he was saying that maybe Rodgers is as good as this one or that one, you know. So he's no longer Aaron Rodgers is no longer the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, it reminds me that as podcasters, we can say anything we want and never really be accountable to it. We could be completely extreme, hyperbolic.
Oh, I know.
And we'll never it'll never matter. Because next week we say the complete opposite, and it's as though we never said it to begin with.
Exactly, Jeff, and that's my point. You know, all of a sudden, and it shows just how fickle sports really is. You know?
Yeah.
It's more the flavor of the moment. You forget how great guys, you know, like Montana was and Marino. I mean, fuck. Those guys did, you know. Dan Marino was putting up 5,000 yards when you could literally jump on the wide receiver's back at the line of scrimmage and ride him downfield, you know. downfield. Dan Marino would put up 10,000 yards in the NFL today, you know. But anyway, I mean, so it is really how fickle it is. And, you know, we'll always love Drew Brees. Will always be the greatest of all time.
Yeah, he is.
You know?
None of these quarterbacks were saddled.
Always be the greatest of all time. There's once a time you would say that about Montana or Young or whatever, and somebody may end up coming around years from now being better than Breeze. But to date, yes. To date, yes. Breeze is better. All right, moving on. Should Taysom start this week so that we can see how he does with the number ones? This from at Lil Toppy.
I assume he will, but what the fuck do I know?
Not Lil Jordan.
Unless, they're going to give Breeze a series, right? Do you think? It's game three. I mean,
no, I don't think so.
If they gave Breeze a series, I would like to see Taysom against a number one set of defense and playing with the number ones. I would like to see him play the official quarterback position without Drew Breeze lining up at receiver.
You got that joke from somewhere else, I think.
Twitter, I saw it. Somebody made
you
a point.
Did. I saw it too.
It wasn't a joke. Somebody said,
right, it was point,
better
yeah.
he is when right. Breeze isn't lining up, which does beg the question, when they bring Taysom in, why are they putting Drew Breeze at receiver? Why not?
Where else are you going to put him? Because it's farther away from getting mauled.
Well, where do you want to put him? At lineman?
We should line him up at fullback.
No. When Taysom Hill's behind center, why does Drew Breeze have to be on the field?
Because initially you line Breeze up at quarterback and then you shift after the fact. You try to confuse
him. Right.
You line him up.
You,
the defense thinks,
confusing,
okay, fine. Right.
Right. You're confusing the defense on the sideline because, okay, they're all out there, you know.
You know what, Dave? No. Jeff looks confused.
I got you.
No, but here's the question, though. How often does Taysom line up somewhere? How often is he on the field and he's not behind center?
I got you. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. All right. Who Dat Chris says. I'm moving the show along. All right. Who Dat Chris says, for the love of a Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich, can we please stop with all this Bridgewater Taysom backup talk? Last time I checked, Breeze was still our starter. Sounds like Jason at the beginning of the show.
That's right. That is the best comment we've had to date so far.
Yeah. Have we already hit the preseason wall? P.S. Popeyes all day, every day. Chick-fil-A is my
answer. Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Yes,
it is. It's not wrong.
That's fun.
All right. So we'll quit with that. All right. And then the last tweet, which you can't really see on the screen. I can't move it in. This says...
I never saw any of the tweets.
From Brenner LeCount. Oh, yeah. I'm not sharing it with y'all. From Brenner LeCount. Is Taysom Hill the real deal at quarterback, or was that just a good performance against the Chargers scrubs? Which we've kind of exhausted the topic.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm going to bring us
back. I mean, look, he played well, but, you know, I don't know that that necessarily means he's the answer. Yet. But look, keep working on his craft. Keep getting better. I mean, it only makes it better if you keep getting better.
All right. And then I want to check back on the live stream while we were doing that. Edward Townsend comes in and says, finally, I get to see a pod live.
Ah.
Thanks for watching, Ed. Josh Caro says, lots of who dats in L.A. this past Sunday. Any news on the injury status of the rookie center?
I didn't think he got injured. McCoy. McCoy didn't get injured. Now, granted, I was drinking during the game. I was kind of getting myself ready for regular season games. I was like, oh, yeah, it's a 3 o'clock game. I'm just going to start drinking Red Bull and vodkas. Let's go.
Oh, nice.
Right.
There were a lot of fans, and even the CBS commentators made a comment about how much the fans were there. And then John DeShazer, which is had said on the New Orleans Saints podcast that they're just talking about how well Saints fans travel and whatnot. But I wonder how much of it was Saints fans traveling versus Saints fans who live in L.A.
No, it's also the Chargers are now playing in this 30,000-seat stadium. Part of the problem now of them moving –
even at the practice.
Hold on. Part of them moving, from – at least in San Diego, they had a home base. Them being in L.A., pretty much every home game from them is not a home game because there's 20,000 Eagles fans or this 20,000 Broncos fans or this 20,000 Raiders fans.
But that state, I would like to watch a game in that stadium.
I do think it'd be like watching a game at Yulman at Tulane. You know,
right. NFL
game
yeah.
I think it'd be fun. But that's the thing. You know, they
moved
to San Diego and they lost some of the fans that they had. They're like, all right, bye bye, donkeys.
Yep.
And now they're in LA and it's all opposing fans. And then when they're going to move into the new Rams stadium when that gets built, I mean, how many Chargers fans are there going to be in LA? I mean, it sucks for them.
It's been two wins and. They got enough people. They're going to fill it. Don't worry.
No, it's going to be the opposing fans.
It's like New York.
Except there's actually New York Jets and Giants fans in New York. There's not a lot of Charger fans in L.A. The Charger fans are in San Diego. They're not going to drive the hour and a half to go to the games. They're going to say, fuck you. You took us away. Fuck you.
Well, good.
I mean, I'm not mad.
No problem with that?
No, I'm just pointing it out.
Yeah, I'm mad.
I ain't mad.
All right.
You're mad? It's not my team. My home crowd is loud.
That's right. The loudest ever. All right. What you got next? Let's see. Michael Wilson, Stovall. I think Taysom needs to line up with the line they give Teddy and see what really happens. So he wants to see him start.
Okay.
All right. That's all I got for look at him tweets and comment section right now. So I think what do you got next? Do you have – there's no Pelican plunge really.
No, there's nothing.
So I guess we're in for time. Final thoughts. Somebody give me a final thought, but before you get to, don't do Popeyes yet.
Okay. I'll give you a different final thought, an actual final thought. So last week, Endgame, Avengers Endgame came out. So I bought it. So I watched Infinity War, I think Tuesday, Wednesday night. And then I watched Endgame Friday night. And you know, after watching those again, I really feel that Downey should be nominated for an Academy Award for his performance. And I think the directors should be nominated. I mean, they probably won't, but considering, you know, I mean, Downey's performance was great. He made the ultimate sacrifice. He's just been a great actor this whole time. And considering what the directors had to do, when you factor in that they filmed these movies pretty much, you know, back to back, having to bring in all these different casts from all these different movies, including different tones. You got the Guardians, you got other movies with different tones, to be able to pull it all together and to end up putting out the movies that they did. And not only did I think they should be nominated, I think the directors should win the Academy Award this year. And if the Academy was smart, I mean, I think they should do something like this. I mean, every year they give the award out to movies that I've never heard of, I've never seen, and the viewership keeps dwindling. The interest in the Oscars keeps dwindling and dwindling because while they're, I'm sure they're good performances, just nobody gives a shit about Moonlight or The English Patient or well,
that,
whatever.
You're going back 20 years ago with that.
Oh, okay. But I mean, you know what I mean? Over the past handful of years, I mean, there's been some exceptions.
It's been 20 years since
the last Lord of the Rings won all those.
Right.
Awards,
well,
and that was an exciting.
Right. It's been 20 years since the Academy and the box office has lined up.
Except for a couple, you know, like that was the Lord of the Rings was an except. The Return of the King made $1 billion, and that won, you know, Best Director, Best Move. That won a shit.
But dude, that's been 20 years.
No, that was 2003.
What are you talking about?
Lord of the Rings. Okay. I mean, it's been a while, but, you know, the last time, like, a true popular movie was nominated and won a big award. You know, you give it to all the small ones, and I get, you know, giant blockbusters, corporate, whatever. Like, I understand that, but, you know, like, if you're telling me that Robert Downey is nominated and the director's nominated and the movie's nominated, people are going to tune in because it's the biggest, in terms of box office, the biggest movie in history, and that's going to generate eyeballs.
My
final thought was that Downey and the director should be nominated for an Academy Award, and I think the director should win for what they were able to do, for what they were able to take multiple movies and multiple characters and mold it into those movies together and make a that movie was fucking awesome. Like,
and
I don't.
It should also win sound mixing. It should win editing. It should win graphics, CGI. It should win everything. It should walk home with every award.
Yes. Yes.
But the question is, it really about that movie or is it about everything they've done?
That's kind of part of it, but and like I was telling
they've
Damon,
never
they
any recognition for anything they've done before.
No, nothing. Like last year, Black Panther got nominated for something.
And right, are we really going to ignore that it hasn't revolutionized cinema?
Right. I mean, it is. Endgame is, you know, and when you factor in, like I told Damon, they filmed Infinity War and Endgame back to back. So they filmed those two giant movies back to back that made $5 billion between the two movies, and combined everything, and they made it. Like, those directors should get credit. I mean, I'm sure they made a shit ton of money for it, but
recognized by their peers
great.
For what they've done.
You know, like
they if you think about it, tell me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there an issue with box office attendance before the Marvel MCU really came back and almost resurrected the movie going experience?
Well, there still could be it over the last
started to disrupt box office attendance.
But this was even after the MCU was established. Over the last couple of years, there is an issue of, right, well, I could just stream it at home and not pay $5 for a popcorn and some places $20 for a movie. But right, it gets people to go. I mean, the fact that it made $350 million here in the opening weekend is just, like, I can't fathom.
But that being said, the Academy is about the artistic, not about the fans.
Even in an artistic sense, the work that those two directors put in to craft this movie, considering everything that they had to do, every character they had to pull in, and some of this, I guess, could go to the writers as well,
and
to
the emotion,
pull in the story, to pull in the emotion. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we cared when those characters died. Like, it was emotion. And the fact that they were able, and yes, there's green screens and CGI and whatever.
I mean, that makes it harder to act.
You know, they you know, like, they pulled out the performances and to me, I just think they should be rewarded. And
so who's the supporting actor?
I would say Downey is the lead. He should be.
Right.
Well,
who's the supporting? There's so many of them.
I mean, Chris Evans?
Honestly, to me, it's not even about Downey so much as it is about the director and the skills that went into creating the movie.
Right.
The acting, I mean, yeah, did Downey do a good job? Yeah.
Yeah, he did a great job.
But I'm sure I've seen better acting or as good of acting
mean, maybe.
And look, this is no disrespect to Robert Downey. I think Robert Downey Jr. is one of the best actors that we've ever gotten to watch. He's in the top echelon. You know, he's like the Aaron Brooks of acting. Or not.
Oh, he's come on. He's better.
Aaron Rodgers. I meant Aaron Rodgers. I'll step at the top. Right. I was looking at you, and I thought Aaron Brooks. But no, I mean, shit. Fucking what I just watched the other day, the OA. I mean, I saw just as quality acting that.
Oh, come on. No.
Good emotion from that series. Or The Boys, that had the great acting in it.
The Boys was good, but no. But there's nothing like, there's nothing on Downey's level. What he had to go through, coming back from space. And
problem is, he wasn't acting. He was playing himself.
He was playing Tony Stark. But really, like the directors and the screenwriters of the movie, to be able to pull all that together and make the greatest movie of all time.
Okay, so there's your thought. All right, Damon, you got a final thought and make it about Popeye.
Love that chicken from Popeye's.
I think the Popeye chicken sandwich is the best chicken sandwich out there. What do you think, Dan?
Popeye's chicken is fucking awesome.
I mean, more than anything, the great chicken, like. The beauty of the whole Popeye shit is that it was an organically grown feud by people who Popeye's just put out a chicken sandwich. And the people who ate it started going to Twitter saying how awesome it was, which made other people want to taste it. And they tweeted about how awesome it was. And it grew and grew and grew to the point where Popeye's chicken sandwich was trending on Twitter.
It was the number one
topic
yesterday.
And Popeye's did not make it, like, they didn't contrive it. It happened. That's how good the sandwich is, okay? And I tried it. Legitimately, it's good. It is fucking very good, okay? And so Wendy's the other day, they tweeted something, and Popeye's, you know, the Twitter – Wendy's is known to be a savage Twitter.
Yeah, Wendy's is a good Twitter.
Yeah, you know. Wendy's a good Twitter account. So they had something, and then
Bojangles put up something. It was this dry ass chicken patty on a dry ass biscuit. And I'm like, brah, just go home. And I think he ended up deleting the tweet. but really, when you think about this, because it came out in Louisiana. It's been out for a while, for several weeks in Louisiana. It only came out nationwide last week. So that's
that where it did it. Okay.
So that's where it gained more traction. But I mean, like, you know, all of our Saints Twitterdom, the fact that we've been able to eat it before that, we've all said, holy shit, this is, that's why I ate it. Everybody's like, holy shit, try the sandwich.
Right.
And I tried it. Holy shit.
It was good. Like, it's legit. It's not a joke. I mean, and like, I don't know. Tell me, for me, it's kind of unfair to say, like, it's better than Chick-fil-A, because I think McDonald's makes a better chicken sandwich than Chick-fil-A. I think Wendy's makes a better chicken sandwich than Chick-fil-A. I think Rally's, Checkers, whatever you want to call it, makes a better chicken sandwich than Chick-fil-A. I think Burger King's classic, you know, the oval shape.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I used to love those.
I like that with all the mayonnaise on it.
Oh, yeah. I used to love those.
Yeah. That's better than Chick-fil-A is actually the worst chicken sandwich.
It's got the best serve. It's got the greatest service, but it is kind of crazy how, like, over the last 5 years, Chick-fil-A has just exploded. And like, I'll get the sandwich and like, yeah, you know, like, it's fine, like, it is a fresh, like,
think, oh my god, I have to have some Chick-fil-A. Never think it. It's never come to mind.
It's almost, to me, it's more about like the Chick-fil-A sauce. Like, I'll get the nuggets just to dip it in the sauce.
Oh yeah, the Chick-fil-A
sauce.
And their sandwich is good. I mean, all the ones
right.
I hear them good.
What I'm hearing is, I mean, if I was hungry and it was the only thing there.
No. I like Chick-fil-A sandwiches. I mean,
I think it's
better than McDonald's.
Yeah.
But I like the crust. That's going to be why. And Chick-fil-A doesn't have, like, the flaky crust. I'm a flaky crust guy.
No, but it is a fresh piece of chicken, but right. It's not as crispy as you would like it. It's almost like that was always my problem with KFC. Chicken's not crispy. This is shit chicken. I don't know how people like KFC. It's not crispy.
You know that the current, I'm going to say, CEO of Popeyes was the CEO of KFC from 2003 to 2007 or something like that?
Yikes.
And she's the current. So she is, you didn't like KFC, But you got KFC CEO that just came out with the best chicken sandwich.
Yeah, but I haven't liked KFC going all the way back to when I was in fucking grade school.
Well, she inherited the recipe. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not her.
I guess. Original recipe is not
Al Copeland's recipe, right?
But I mean, but I will say, and I texted you guys, you know, I tried the regular first. It was good. I tried the spicy, and it's like, I like the regular better than
I found the regular to be kind of spicy. The regular better.
Well, it was good enough. It has enough flavor. Like, the spicy had that sauce on it, and it just, like, kind of overpowered, and it was just like, this is just, yeah, no, give me the regular.
But all right, so wait, when you go to Popeye's and you buy, like, the 8-piece or whatever, you get spicy?
No, I get regular.
Me too.
I get spicy.
Ooh, no, that's going to burn my chicken on the way out.
Well, I mean, I also don't eat Popeye's a ton. Like, before the chicken sandwich, I might have eaten Popeye's over the last 6 years, and a couple of those were in the playoff runs. But when the sandwich came, I was like, I gotta have the sandwich. And right? it didn't fucking disappoint.
It did not. And you know what I like about it? So tell me if yours was this way. So my sandwich, and I'm doing this on the live stream. For those of you listening, I'll try to describe what
I'm
doing.
Okay, I'll try to.
The size of the chicken. What I mean, it was like a fat-ass chicken breast. Like, it was not the – you know, like when you go to Chick-fil-A again.
It wasn't. Chick-fil-A is a fresh.
Chicken isn't even as big as the bun, and it's not a big bun. Like, Chick-fil-A sandwiches are like a tiny little.
Well, that's part of the problem with Chick-fil-A. Their bun is nubs.
Their bun is garbage, and their chicken's smaller than the damn bun. You go to Popeye's, the chicken is bigger than the bun, and it's one of the oversized buns. It's not a small bun.
That brioche bun, that does it. That brioche bun, that's part of what makes it
and
special.
And then they got the fat pickles on it.
Oh, yeah. Those pickles are fucking – now, I will say, the spicy sandwich that I got – The chicken patty was like smaller. It wasn't as good as the regular patty that I got.
They cutting corners already?
I mean, maybe they figure, hey, it's spicy. People love spicy. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how y'all
spicy. You can't handle that much spice. There's only a daily recommended dose. But, I think if Popeyes can hold this kind of quality, I really think what Popeyes might have just done is, I feel like normally if you're thinking of like, oh, I want a fast food, I don't always think of Popeyes because I don't put Popeyes.
Correct. It's not fast food.
I never think
you
of
it. You got to go home. No, you have to go home. I get Popeyes if I don't feel like cooking. What can I get? And Popeyes is kind of, you can get a meal.
Takeout.
You go there, you get chicken. Right. Takeout. Right. You go there, get chicken and all your stuff. I agree. I don't.
Popeyes just entered the fast food market. I think if you're thinking about what can I run through, grab a good lunch quickly, I now could say I can go to Popeye. I was never going to get a 4-piece
sandwich. Right, right.
Yeah, red beans.
Yeah. You don't want to eat.
Right.
No. I can't eat Popeye's chicken away from home, Damon, if you're doing it for the same reasons, because within about 5 minutes of eating Popeye's, I'm sitting down.
No.
For me, it's not 5 minutes. It's the next day.
Oh, no. Mine's quick. But the other thing, though, is, I mean, Popeyes, this is what I don't – I've kicked myself for not remembering this. But, like, there's times where I could go to Popeyes and get a large red beans, no chicken, and just have red beans for dinner.
Yeah. Those red beans are so fucking good.
Those red beans are – well, you know what I mean, only problem with their red beans, they don't come with sausage. So I get a link of Veyron sausage, cut them up, put them in the pan for a little bit, and then I dump them in my –
I never thought of that.
I never have too, but God, that's genius. Do you remember a couple years ago they came out with the Popeye's chicken tender wrap? They would put a little wrap.
That was good.
With chicken tenders and red beans in the wrap. That was so good.
Well, so the funny thing, I was telling Andrea that I was going to go try the chicken sandwich, and she was like, they've been selling that all the time, because I was all like, it's new. And she was like, they've always had that. What are you talking about? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Apparently, they had a chicken po' boy, and maybe it was a limited time.
Must have been a limited – but how long ago was it? Like, I don't remember.
I don't know. She said that's the only thing she ever used to get at Popeye's.
I mean, like, I don't remember – eating Popeyes a ton. When we go to Popeyes, we would just get the box and the biscuits.
Yeah,
and
that was the only, I didn't know. I never knew Popeyes had so many awesome things, because you always get the box.
I knew. I would always go to my grandpa's house, and they were always there eating
Look,
Popeyes chicken, and he had a heart attack at age 60.
Well, it's how you know that Popeyes. So here's what you get. Here's what you get, everybody listening. You need to try the fries. I'm not saying they're the best fries, but they're fucking good.
They're good. They're solid.
They're more like rallies.
Right. They're Cajun fries.
Yeah, Cajun fry. The onion rings are the best onion rings I've ever had in any place in my entire life. Best onion rings. The chicken, obviously. Red beans. Best red beans I've ever had in my entire life. Chicken sandwich now. Best chicken sandwich I've ever had in my entire life. The only problem is Popeyes is expensive, and it is very unhealthy.
Jeff, here's the thing. All fast food is not cheap anymore.
This is crazy.
You know, like,
Look,
I'm just thinking, back 20 years ago, you could go and get a Whopper combo for $3. Now it's like $7. You know, like,
Did you try the breakfast, right? The chicken, they sell breakfast.
No.
They sell breakfast.
I got sausage biscuits way back in the day, like in the 90s, but.
No, they you need to get the chicken biscuit. Damon, well, of course. I know you said you had bacon and
I've had a Chick-fil-A, the little chicken biscuits. Those are pretty good.
Yeah, well, that's good bread.
Right.
And I will say, Popeye's breakfast, it ain't nothing you ain't never couldn't create on your own. All right, you could buy chicken tenders and a six-pack of biscuits and make – that's it. That's what they do. They take their biscuit and they stick a chicken tender in it. But you got to add the honey on it or the strawberry jelly or something, or some kind of grape jelly or whatever, because it is dry. But Popeye's biscuits have come to be dry. They weren't always dry, but they're dry now.
They've been dry for a while.
But they're
that
good
was
with
– comeback or something. They're like, oh, y'all biscuits as dry as your jokes or something. But they still taste better. Now, Bojangles, you want to talk about Bojangles if you never had that?
I've never had it, and I don't care. Try.
The chicken's garbage. Everything's garbage, except they do have their biscuits. They have blueberry biscuits with icing on them, and they have cinnamon biscuits, and they put icing on that as well. Those biscuits are legit. They're actually better than Popeye's biscuits.
Well, a lot of biscuits are better than Popeye's biscuits.
Whoa.
No, Popeye's has far away the best biscuits.
Name a biscuit better than Popeye's, motherfucker. That's what I thought. You just said that to me.
That's fucking he's contrary. He's an asshole.
I was definitely being contrarian right there.
He's always, you know, I'm fucking, this is why I don't like Jason.
Why is it? It's okay to agree with people. You've been spending too much time on Twitter.
No, but this is how Jason is. Anytime you say something, he just says that he has no argument to back him.
I mean, the biscuits are okay, but they're very plain. Like, I go, like, Renee's grandma makes breakfast every Sunday morning. Her biscuits are better than Popeye's biscuits.
Well, Jason, we're not talking about
bullshit.
We're talking about food restaurant biscuits.
Okay.
Yes. Look, a bag of Mary B's.
Okay. I like McDonald's biscuits are better. I like McDonald's biscuits better.
Okay.
No.
Oh my God. Oh my. Oh, we about to. No.
Wow. Holy shit. Wow.
What do you do?
I don't know.
Is he going to get biscuits?
He just fucking twirled.
Wow. McDonald's biscuits is the most generic, basic bitch biscuit. Yeah, that's what you are. You're basic.
No, I'm not.
Ooh, you are basic.
You know what? You know what's the one? The burger sandwich breakfast sandwiches. That's always my.
That's a whole nother ball of wax.
That is my number one. You know, Church's honey butter biscuits are better than Popeye's biscuits.
I've never had Church's, so I don't know.
I've only had the honey butter. I haven't eaten Church's in 20 years, but their honey butter biscuits are legit.
All right. Well, I will agree with you that the croissant from Burger King, the bacon, egg, and cheese croissant.
It's sausage. Fuck your bacon. It's sausage.
Nah. I know you like the sausage.
Yes, and I'm proud of it.
You've always been a sausage lover.
Give it to me.
Oh, God.
I ain't scared.
Let's see. I think
I think we're done.
Talking about that sausage. Excited.
Are we done here? Got him excited. He got to go find him some sausage.
Right? That's right.
some back alley somewhere.
Uh-huh. All right, let me get to the ending then. All right, so that is all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can follow us on Twitter for daily conversation. Like us on Facebook to watch these live broadcasts. You can subscribe on YouTube to watch or listen as an alternative to your podcast app. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, you can go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Terry Donkeys.
Good night, Hoodat Nation.
Oh, my little chicken. I love your feet. I love your breasts. I love the way you eat gravel to help you digest. Oh, my little chicken. People say you're using me. In your heart, you're a killer. But I know that the worst I should fear is a slight case of salmonella. So lie right back, don't you cry. If an egg can fit in there, why can't I? Mm. Oh, my little
bark, 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 bark.
You're my love.
Love that chicken from Popeye.